Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ron Epley, and with me as usual is
your other co-host, Dr. Shane Goforth. So remember, this is a call-in show, so we want to encourage everybody to give us a call. That number is 347-989-8722. So give us a call
and
continue with us.
So here we go. First one I wanted to turn off this. It says a Harvard investigation shows doctors are paid enormous sums of money to prescribe addictive opioids.
What we thought all along
is the way we see patients coming. We're not seeing patients on opioids coming just randomly off the street with people addicted to drugs. There are people coming in with pain complaints that are looking for a solution. And their doctor kicked them off finally, what they've been prescribing forever.
Yep.
So it's really funny because if you watch this whole thing unravel, is that you can see all of the AMA. I don't want to blame the AMA. Just that they're symbolic for the American Association of Medical Doctors,
right,
and what they do. And they went on the offensive for a while and said, oh, no, we don't do this. It's not overprescribing it. Kids are getting into their parents' drugs.
Right.
Parents don't put the safety cap on for a teenager to get killed.
Yeah,
with a teenager. I mean, what do people do that hard? We hear this about a handful of kids. What does this mean? Or do this mean? Whatever. Because they figure it out.
And they tried to blame it on everything except for what they were doing.
Right.
But we talked about it on the show before. We know it was them.
Yeah.
And now Harvard concluded it was them. And the amount of money they were given, it's assumed.
Yeah.
Literally. Let's see if I can find the numbers here. There's researchers from Harvard
and CNN. Uncovered evidence showing that between the years of 2014 and 2015, thousands of doctors from all over the country were paid well over $25,000 each
for opioid manufacturers. While
hundreds of doctors
were awarded
individual six-figure sums simply for prescribing more opioids. In fact, more opioid
prescriptions than doctors issued in 2015, and more money than were given by the FDA sanctioned opioid cartel.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
You know what? And maybe that's one of the reasons behind our profession not wanting to get drugs at all. Sheer corruption would be to us. I mean, there are people that fought
to sell for it.
But I'm not wanting to recommend over the counter drugs. I'm grateful that in this case we can,
yeah,
all the more evidence I hear about the doctor show is that now I can really take those things away from me
because
I can find them out.
Don't do it because non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and all the strong studies on bacteria have been proved to do more harm than good. And
it's
even if it's Tylenol or paracetamol, whatever you want to call it, but last year was found in English analysis to be somewhat of a placebo. So
why
can
do
that? And say, "Well, when you do it more,
I'm just saying,
no, because they're anti-drug, anti-overboard. They can't even do that."
Right. Yep, that's true.
So I'm
kind of
glad
that
we
could debate something. And then also that we got the growing dilemma.
I don't know what to do about this one. Yeah.
What do we do with legalized marijuana in the state of Oregon?
I know, that's gone crazy.
What do we do? Do we recommend it? I don't know anything about it. Do we recommend it?
I don't know.
You figure that...
I guess it's over the counter. We should be able to do it.
Right?
It doesn't
say it's all legal. It's not. You don't even need a prescription anymore.
Can we sell cannabinoids? Because I get called by representatives trying to get me to sell cannabinoids, too.
No,
right?
I don't know.
Or CBDs and CBD oil.
CBD oil, yeah.
And massage creams and stuff
like
that. I
haven't seen ads for that in some of our...
Some of our magazines.
Trade magazines.
I don't know if we can or not. I don't know if we want to or not. Is that doesn't that go back to our drug-free...
Right. I would think so. Yeah, I know. It's in a way, in one way. So talking about the opioid thing is a little bit tempting in one sense because it'd be a nice.
Well, you know, it'd be funny. You go to the chiropractor and get some crack and some cannabinoids.
That's right. Cannabinoid and crack. Yeah. Welcome to the crack house.
I know. That was a funny cartoon. I still have that on the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is a dilemma, though, isn't it?
Right.
No, I'm not. I haven't recommended it for really anybody or anything. But
me neither.
You know, the science is out there that it is getting people off of opioids.
I talk to people too. You know, like truck drivers because of the CDL physicals. They're not allowed to have THC in their system. Well, I know they're talking about CBCs, which is not THC, but still, I always warn them a little bit. You know. I would use extreme caution using that stuff.
Yeah, well, and then people are working for the federal government.
Right. Well, yeah, just because it's legal in the states, or in this state, you know, a lot of drivers. I've had one or two drivers ask me about it, and I've told many others that, you know, the marijuana use in Oregon is just not legal for them because they are that's a federal certificate that they have, so they can't do it. So. Yeah, it makes it not legal for them.
Okay, so here we go. University of California, San Diego says pharma drug side effects add nearly $500 trillion to U.S. healthcare costs each year. $500 billion.
How do you cut healthcare costs? Take away pharmaceuticals. Put you there. Look how much money I can take.
Yeah, I know. That's just crazy.
Right?
The side effects of the drug being treated
are
half a trillion. Now we're not talking simply, oh, you've got a life-threatening condition, we're going to give it to you. And I got nausea from the drugs, so we need to do something from your nausea.
Right.
We're talking in non-life-threatening conditions that you're taking something and it gives you more serious side effects than nausea.
Right.
Sends you to the emergency room and all kinds of stuff, like bleeding ulcers and all kinds of stuff. Right. So, the research has concluded that non-optimized medication therapy is costing the U.S. between $495 billion and $672 billion. This amounts to 16% of annual health care.
16%.
You know what? The chiropractic profession doesn't even make 16% of all the health care costs.
Right.
Our entire profession. And that's just the side effects of medication.
That's nuts. How many people can do so much better if they would just listen to us and do what we say, and then we'd make a lot more money.
But you know what? That's the thing. How do we get people to listen?
I don't know. Like change your diet. Right. Well, it's hard to say because, you know, I even have a hard time with all of that myself, right? Between the high fructose corn syrup addiction that's out there that, you know, gets, you know, doesn't get near enough credit was what it should, right? And then, you know, whatever's put on your life, the stressors of life, as it were, is why we should go out and walk. We tend to not do it. I just don't have the time. You know, I got to go do this. I got to do these other things. Well, you know, okay, well, you'll be dead soon, so what are you going
to
do?
You won't have time to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, I know. So, Chinese fast food might give you high blood pressure. Might, that's what they said. It can have the same salt content as 10 bags of chips. Okay, so we've already shown earlier that salt isn't as bad as it used to be.
Right.
But still, high salt is still bad, just like low salt is bad.
Right.
Right? So, but we can have a lot more salt than what we thought we could. But still, when you look at how much salt is in this, it's crazy. The group's analysis revealed that 97% of takeout food from six independent restaurants in London's Chinatown had 2 grams of salt or more per dish. Over 50% had 3 grams or more salt per dish, which is already half the maximum recommended daily intake in this one portion.
Crazy.
The saltiest takeout main dish with a rice noodle, which is the same as 5 Big Macs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
Yeah. I know. I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
That's a lot of salt.
Good thing I don't eat that kind of food anymore.
Yeah, right.
I like to, if I'm going to eat some sort of something that might be sort of Asian, I go to Jung's Mongolian Grill.
Yeah.
Other reason I mention them is because it's my favorite place to eat. And also, we go to, Dr. Goforth and I like to go to MMA fights, and Jung's is always there. And we sit next to the people that own that place a couple of times.
Right.
Because they like to go, too, and they sponsor the fights. And we're going next this weekend to the fights.
So
it's fun. I'm going to give them a shout out. Anyway, where's my other stuff I was going to talk about today? Here's one I wanted to bring up. It's around Chinese food.
Chinese food, yay.
I wanted to talk about something Dr. Murphy used to talk about. And now there's a study. Oh, there it is. A pilot in Kenya shows a link between chronic pain and glutamate.
Uh-huh.
We've been talking about this here. So we're talking about MSG and other things that are hidden glutamates in our
Right.
Yeah. Get a brain boost from spearmint. It improves both short-term memory and the ability to fall asleep, according to the study. And it's published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, I used to.
I don't have much trouble coming up with my garden.
Cleaning up my root garden. And the mint didn't want to come back so much. There was a few of us going back. Cilantro.
Right.
Especially lime curry. I used to go out there and cook this fresh in it all the time. I have to find some more this year.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. Nope. See?
Yay.
Look at us go.
We got a bad system that desperately needed fixed. right. Our Congress was right. The Senate was right. Everybody was right. The system is beginning to fail. It's not a very good system. And it needs to be fixed. Well, we argued on deaf ears. That giving more of the same would just make the system break quicker.
Right. Shocking.
Yeah, and we argued almost all along the way, you know, the things that they were saying in particular, and of course, we were wrong.
Yeah.
Anything. So now, what we see is what I do. I used to have health care, health insurance.
Right.
Because of Obamacare, I don't have it. Still don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those people that don't have insurance. And by the way, I'm the only one. I see people coming to the picture. Same thing.
Yep.
Almost every one of them is still a business.
Right.
So the part of our society that creates most of the jobs in the United States can't afford health care for themselves.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? But if they're big enough, then they have to buy it for their employees. So it makes it less affordable for them.
Yep.
So yes, the most money for other people's health care, and they don't get any.
And the other thing we've seen is the people that can't afford to buy the health care, their deductibles are so high, they can't afford to go to the doctor.
Right.
And we're seeing, it's crazy what we're seeing.
Yep.
Dr. Goforth and I were just talking about a new patient last week. Called in on his insurance. And asked him specifically, what's the chiropractic system? Well, we'll take the office call. This is cool because someone has done a new paper exam. Paper exam.
Right.
And then we do more than enough people.
You don't send anybody out for
extra nutritional consultation.
You refer them to
those people who should.
Slocum Center for injuries. And you don't do any of that, do you?
No, not at all.
Or
probiotics.
So, it's kind of about time we start getting paid to be the doctors we are. But what's ridiculous is we don't get paid for completely while we hold it.
Right.
So, what that does is it kind of helps broaden the scope of what we get paid for now.
Right.
But yeah, so how many chiropractors? If all the insurance companies take this, why don't take this, gentlemen?
Okay.
Or pay for all the other things. How many chiropractors are going to convert to be real doctors?
Right.
And no longer be chiropractic.
Not at all.
We don't get paid to be chiropractic then.
I don't know. It's a hard transition for me. Anyway, I don't like doing all that other stuff.
I love doing all that other stuff. I've always said I'd love to have a nice big clinic where they come and see me, and I go see Dr. Goforth, let him adjust you. It's not that I don't like adjusting. It's that I get excited about all the other stuff.
Thanks.
Like, I want to be in charge of your health care, and I want to recommend this, and this, and I want you to come back in 2 weeks after you've done that, and I want to see if it's doing you any good or not, and make some changes of what you're doing. Oh, you're not taking vitamin D? Why not? What can we do to help you take vitamin D? Am I going to sell it to you for free? Because you still won't take it. So what can we do? What about the fish oil? All right, how can we not go in to see Dr. Goforth 3 times a week like I recommend?
Right.
Because you got bad body odor after riding this bike? I don't know. So, yeah. So, half of Americans are.
Right.
Oh, I can understand why, because it can kill them.
Right? So, we have people live longer now.
Yeah, because they can't afford to go to the doctor. That's the truth, though. But they're going to die because they can't, because they're spending every penny they got on just insurance.
That's right.
By God, we got paid for the doctor.
Correct.
So here we go. The New York Times versus the Science of the CISO.
Okay.
A recent New York Times article urging readers to follow the CDC push-shot recommendation provides a useful case study of how the mainstream media manufacture consent for public vaccine policy by systematically deceiving the public about what the science says. Interesting article, huh? The U.S.
I agree. It's just almost all scientists tell you, don't be doing anything crazy like that when you're pregnant. Almost everybody will tell you, don't do
any decent, well-educated doctor will tell you, don't add any chemicals to your body. You don't have to while you're pregnant. I mean,
I don't think they even need to be well-educated. I think if they're a doctor and
yeah.
graduated the last in their class,
yeah.
they know that too. In fact, I'll bet you
the well-educated ones that ignore that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you remember the
yeah.
hey, students go out in the world and they can't make it on their own.
Right.
So they end up going back and teaching. And these students end up working for C students.
Yep.
And we saw that over and over and over and over.
Right, right.
So it's so fun. Anyway, so this is I can't find the original. Anyway. Therefore, we don't need homeopathic remedies for it. What we need vaccine for.
Exactly right.
Vaccine up
too.
Anyway, so. One recent study did follow the question of whether the vaccine prevents transmission That was published in Proceedings of the National Academy of whatever, Sciences of the United States of America. The study authors screened volunteers with confirmed faces of influenza and took breath samples. And among their findings was an association between repeated vaccination and the increased viral aerosol generation.
So they had,
the more you are vaccinated, the more that you spread the virus.
Right. So how is that good
to the for everybody else, for society, if they're trying to prevent flu?
Now, what happens?
I wonder how much old Carol got paid for that.
I know. So what happens? Just this way. What happens if you decrease the flu symptoms so you don't seem to be as sick,
right,
but you spread the flu even more?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is, in fact, subjects who had received the influenza vaccine in both the current and previous season were found to shed over 6 times more aerosolized virus than those who did not get a flu shot during either season.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the herd immunity there?
That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I need to go in.
I don't think so.
I really like it when it's to the people. Both of them, people give their opinions. And I remember my new one. Kind of fun. So listen to this, Dr. G. This is quite interesting, too. It says, water conservation fail. Artificial turf grass actually uses more water than real grass, according to this study.
Really?
Yeah, and I read this over because I'm going, well, what's the big deal? Why do you need to water artificial turf? You know why? Because it gets hot, and they got to cool it. And the heat causes problems with football players, right?
Right.
Well, that's interesting.
There have been reports of artificial turf's ability to reach temperatures as high as 180 degrees Fahrenheit.
Holy
so imagine, God. In full uniform, full out playing football on a 180 degree surface. So what they did is they, at the end of the day, what was coming to me is that we irrigated for 20 minutes, and in these 20 minutes we cooled the artificial turf down to more or less body temperature. So it would be comfortable for any athlete. But within an hour after irrigation, we were up to the high temperature. So what they did is they actually did a pretty good thing. They measured water that they used on real gas.
Right.
Wow, that's funny. You would think that, but yeah, that makes sense when the reason that they use it.
I know, amazing.
Yeah. So I think artificial turf, too. I mean, why would you want it other than wash it? You know, maybe you got to wash it.
Marketing on the field before we go to the football game. It's pretty hot. Study explores carbohydrates. And consuming high amounts of carbs and various forms of sugar during the prior to treatment for head and neck cancer may increase patients' risk of cancer recurrence and mortality. However, eating moderate amounts of starchy foods such as whole grains, fish, and beans after treatment can be protective.
Although we tell people not to eat
like pizza. I eat them, but I don't eat that chicken. I'm just trying to avoid as much as I can.
Right.
I'm just trying to avoid as much as I can. And even then, I try to eat sushi. But yeah, I hardly ever eat it. I hardly eat potatoes anymore either.
I actually like potatoes. I just don't eat as many as I don't eat like russet anymore, except for on a rare occasion. But for the most part, I don't eat those at all anymore. But I still like eating potatoes. enjoy them. But I don't eat hardly any rice ever.
Hardly any for me either. Dang, I have some.
Stuff. I don't eat hardly any. I've never ate like. I've never been a big like human here anyway.
I had something. Cancer risk rises in patients older than
40. Right.
Cancer cells older, right?
Right. They don't take a day off. Right.
Right. They don't take a day off. So if you put the universal impact to me, it's a good question. The longer it takes up and falling into the next one, it's a good question. The longer the cancer comes to me, it becomes a good question.
Right. No, we're not. I know why is it taking people so long to get in and get anything done?
I'll tell you one thing. I don't remember surgeons. I spoke with a Tommy. I'm like, gosh, how could this take so long? Like, you're going to go on air. Why would it take so long? You're pretty busy. Oh, he's been. I come on in. And when he came in, I got him. And it turns out he does one or two surgeries a week. Is all he does. Because he makes so much freaking money on the surgery that he doesn't have to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So he already doesn't see that many people. That's all he knows his practice too. And so there's a month or two waiting list because he only does one or two. There's something wrong with the system where they only have to do hardly work at all to make an ungodly amount of money, and then people are suffering
right.
waiting to get in.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying all surgeons are like that, but that was my I was pretty irked by that.
Right.
Then the other thing is, in my area, they're within 30 minutes of each other, there are three hospitals. There's one right in my town. They don't have an MRI machine. But there's a truck that'll come out with an MRI machine, a mobile truck. And in the other two hospitals in two towns 30 miles away, they have MRIs. So I have a patient comes in with a acute herniated disc. You know it. But, you know, we're not stupid. We know when they're acute herniated disc. You go, I want to get an MRI right away. So you refer them over to the local hospital, and they make them wait until the truck comes in town in order to do an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
They let these people suffer an ungodly amount of pain because these people hurt them bad, right?
Right.
Waiting for their diagnostic testing. And they never, because I'll have them come to me while they're waiting and go, well, what? We need to get an MRI. Well, I have one scheduled for 2 weeks at the hospital. Well, let me call Florence.
Mm-hmm.
See if we can get you in right now. Oh, yeah, we can get you in right now. Why don't you go down there? So why are the doctors not doing that for their patients? Why are they letting them suffer so much?
No, that's a good question. Maybe it's more beneficial to them to let them wait.
Yeah, maybe there's a kickback from the hospital.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, I thought we're there to serve the patient, not the hospital.
Yeah, right.
You can't get them in, send them somewhere else. Immediately. I used to call around. I'd call around South Coast Radiology, which doesn't exist anymore. That hospital, the other hospital. I just take 30 seconds with the staff to call them and get them in. They're on the floor. They just don't send them over here. Unless there's like a major emergency, like a four car pile up. The machine's packed up. So. So, while we wait for all this stuff, cancer outcomes is worse. I would say any outcomes are worse when you have to wait and delay.
Right.
But making people wait. We keep seeing this over and over and over again. Later school start times are really new and first thing. And now we're finding that, I think we talked about last week, the grade so, with all of this overwhelming evidence,
I don't know. I wanted that too. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You have to suffer, other people have to suffer too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Area.
Oh, you went to the same high school as your
right? You went to the same high school, or you went to
you know, you're just in a neighboring town, or that's like 6 miles away, and you're frequent often, or whatever, you know. It's just a funny thing to me. How is it that you wound up meeting these people like this? And it's like, you know, you would have met your soulmate if you lived in another town during high school or whenever.
Yeah, I know. And they got to be your best friend, too. It's like, well, you know, I lived in a different age when I was young. I'd end up marrying my a guy, because guys were my best friends when I was younger, right?
Yeah, right. Hey, yeah. I know. It's a funny thing.
But, I mean, think about it. You invest so much in one person, all that energy these days. They got to be your best friend. I'd rather have a best friend outside of my marriage so that I could go and to fight.
Uh-huh.
I can go fishing.
Right?
I can go do all kinds of other stuff. But why does your spouse have to do all that with you?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
So, you know, have you ever gone shopping with your wife? Episodes?
Oh, my God. I have to.
Thank God they might have someone else that likes to go shopping with them. Because
I keep telling her, you need a different friend for this. I hate shopping.
Yeah.
Please go with somebody, anybody. Oh, my God, I hate shopping, too. We still make fun of my wife when she shops for, like, clothes. She's like, because you circle the same rack like 25 times. Why? I went by there once. I saw all the clothes. I don't need to go back. Okay, yeah, maybe I missed a couple here or there, whatever. But I mean, come on. I don't know. I'm so over this. Yeah.
Oh, and you got to circle the whole mall before you buy anything. You got every store. No, let's go back to this one. They had it. And you go, well, I can't remember which one it was in.
Right. I know. I hate that. I hate shopping.
So you know what? We can't be everything
no.
to our spouse.
I hate grocery shopping. I hate clothes shopping. I don't mind shopping for bicycles.
Yeah, or bicycle helmets.
Or bicycle helmets. Or parts for my bicycle, or bicycle kits, or bicycle shoes. I don't mind
And
that.
You go online for hours just researching exactly the
right
one, couldn't you?
Right. No, I can't do that. But yeah.
She probably doesn't even like to listen to you talk about bicycles.
She does. So I got to just tell you this. So it's a funny thing. We were talking about it a little bit. There's a one of the sitcoms that we love watching is The Big Bang Theory. And there's a scene in there where those who watch the show will understand where Sheldon is trying to make a decision between two gaming systems, and he's having a hard time, and he's talking to his girlfriend, and she's trying to put on her dinner for him. And she's sitting down eating, and he's just going on and on and on about the thing. And she's like, could you please pass the butter? And so he goes along, grabs the butter, and holds it, starts talking to her. And you know, he's like, you're not listening. You won't. And so she really gets involved and, like, listens. And then right at the end, she starts slamming the table. Please pass the butter. Now my wife does that to me all the time. Please pass the butter.
When talking about your bicycle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny.
Anyway, it was an interesting TED Talk. So
yeah.
A shout out for a TED Talk. She did a really good job. It was very fascinating.
Cool.
It was like there are two parts, and we couldn't find the second part because it cut off at the very end, but it was pretty good.
Interesting.
Food packaging could negatively affect nutrient absorption in your body.
Okay.
Let's see, what does it say? We found that zinc oxide nanoparticles at doses that are relevant to what you might normally eat in a meal or a day can change the way your intestine absorbs nutrients in your intestine cell. So what happens is zinc oxide is one of those things that packs.
Huh.
You know what, Dr. G? I'm just more convinced than I've ever been.
Yeah.
We just have to go
right.
Even if it costs our society a little bit of money, to recycle the glass, because I don't trust washing them out, because you never know what people stored in their glass.
Yeah, right.
I remember my dad stored gas and oil in the glass.
Uh-huh.
And so you just got to go put them and grind them back up and
right.
rebuild them into something else. But, you know, we just got to get away from all this plastic, all this packaging and stuff.
That's right.
You know, but go back to canning stuff the way things are canned. And again, getting out, you know, because we have tin cans and they line them with all the bisphenol A and all the other crap. You just got to go back to talk.
I know, it's so much better, you know.
Even if there's a risk of botulism or whatever.
Right.
The risk is pretty low.
Well, you know, but consumers hate it, or not consumers, but The retailers hate it because, you know, they're easily broken.
And they add weight to things.
Yeah, too, right? Right. Shipping.
You know what? Those are some of the things we probably have to do because we don't have anything better.
Yeah.
You know, we never, and I'm not blaming the plastics industry,
no.
but I don't believe any of them for a minute even begin to realize that they have the problems that they're having.
Right.
But now that they're aware of it, they keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
And so as much as I don't like the government to intervene, maybe the government or the people need to vote and
yep.
everything's got to go back to glass.
Right.
I'm even tired of plastic straws anymore. Oh, my God. Kids, going over to someone's house and you got an eight-year-old kid. Give them juice or whatever. You got to have a straw. Are you freaking kidding? Drink your milk out of a cup. Why do you got to have a straw? Is it really that necessary? It's kind of necessary to go to McDonald's and you get a drink that's all filled all the way up to the top and you're driving in your car and it's cake and you want to live on it at home?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's convenient having a squeezable thing in your ketchup.
Yeah, that's true.
Rather than turning that sucker upside down in anticipation.
Yeah.
Remember that anticipation. Yeah. Anyway, but.
Well, you know what, though? Even at that Taco Bell. But still, yeah, it's we're just so impatient as a society.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I know. Go back to the old ways. This has been a proven a good way to do it. Let's just do it.
Right. Right. $25, yeah.
Say $25, man. That's tough.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna go pick that stuff
I'll
up.
I'll be walking the streets then.
$25 a jar. Dang, right. I'd be out there looking for that stuff. Spend an hour finding two things, you just made a good living.
Oh, here's one news. This was shocking.
Right.
And that bacteria, the fecal bacteria, actually sticks to your hand.
Yuck.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. That's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Wow. Huh.
Yucca.
What a fecal transplant. All right. Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
hand. With that paper towel, use the paper towel to open the door and go in and go faster.
Yep, right.
Where you go to places like Costco, but no longer have doors.
Yeah, right. But they use the air blowers.
Now they're air blowers.
Yeah.
So it's like, why wash your hands? Because you're going to get someone else's crap all over you no matter what.
That's right.
Literally.
Yucca. I'm going to have to use them on Yeah.
I know. It's gross, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They use them everywhere nowadays, too.
I know, and I never realized it until my roommate brought it up, and then I found the original study.
Yeah, you know, the things you don't think about, right? It makes complete sense once you say, oh, yeah, that would work that way. Because air got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, just suck the air from around, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they blow it on there for 30 seconds. It's 18 or 16 to 60 colonies.
Right. Wow.
Of fecal. Ugh.
Yuck. Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's gonna just yep. I hate those little the paper towel dispensers that you know you gotta you pull it and it tears as you pull. And if you don't if there's someone there you gotta turn the little dial. Hate those. Oh. Because in Italy I was going to one and they're not there. I gotta turn the damn thing. Why did I bother?
Well, the other thing is
that. Yeah, right. Right? You got like 50,000 one sheets of.
I know, exactly.
Yep.
I know. So, guess what? It's an interesting war in vitamin D finally. Vitamin D blood test may one day see by 49
in kids. Really?
Yes. The research at Ohio State University found that children with bipolar disorder had a higher blood level of a protein associated with vitamin D compared to children without disorder. Yes. In the 36 young people.
Mm-hmm.
The vitamin D content was 36% higher in those with bipolar disorder than those without a
Wow. That's interesting. I wonder how that works out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, good avenue for more research.
I know.
Because that way, you know, if you know the facts of the case, then you can figure out ways to prove that, whether it be, you know, what kind of a mineral are you deficient in, or vitamin deficient in, or are you too much in the protein area, or whatever it could be.
So, this is the kind of
study that I got off on the last quite a few years, but it's in boys or girls, how it's treated.
There's a study here. Class clowns. Playful boys are viewed more negatively than playful girls, according to the study. Says the study confirms gender differences in how teachers perceive playfulness and provides insights into potentially damaging effects of discouraging playful behavior. Again, most of the teachers, which the study didn't show, and these boys are women. And women see boys being playful as negative, but girls are obviously. Some boys are not. And how they negatively impact boys.
Interesting. Yep. We're double standards. But we're accused of having double standards all the time.
Only men have double standards.
That's right. That's a funny thing.
So this is a surprising study. You're going to be shocked when you hear this.
Okay.
Be prepared. Are you sitting down? Sitting down. Okay. The study found people would rather pop a pill or sip a tea than exercise.
Yeah, I know. They'll change their diet.
Or anything.
Or anything.
But they didn't drink your pills.
No, that's what they tell you right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. That's so nuts.
But I don't feel any difference when I take the vitamin D. Do you feel any difference when you take all those other pills? Well, no.
That's right.
I know.
It's funny.
So a study from researchers at Indiana University in the Journal of Neuroimaging has found differences in the rates of athletes to participate in complex sports compared to those who participate non. We come
up. Right.
Minor concussions is still damaging to the brain. It still causes scar tissue of the brain. It still causes all kinds of other stuff. They probably tear neurons and damage neurons and make differences in brain activity as well.
Right.
So, you know, it's actually kind of scary. You wonder, what are we going to do? Sports are so important for movement.
Yep.
You know what I mean? What are we going to do? And take the contact sports away and then people are going to sit down all day long? Which is worse for their brain? Because I have one here. What is after that? So sitting is bad for your brain, not just the metabolism of the heart. Sending a brain regions important for memory are linked to sedentary. So literally your brain shrinks as you're sitting. So is it better to have a shrunken brain or better to have a partially damaged brain from contact force? Probably better than either one, but you're almost...
You can avoid both of those, then you're good to go. You're on your bicycle.
Yeah, well, can you avoid contact with your head on your bicycle? Because I know someone who couldn't do it himself.
That's right. I don't know who that is. Silly buggers. Just don't fall down.
And when you're young, how many times did you fall on your bike when you're young?
I know, right? I don't.
How many times?
I don't remember. I had too many concussions.
I know. Don't you remember getting your bike going and then getting off your bike while the bike was moving and running alongside it and your bike crash and it was about to school? How many times did you fall down when you tried to do that?
I don't know. I don't remember. I only did a few times.
Yeah, but those are stingrays. Those were 10 speed bikes.
That's
so
right.
Those little stingrays. All kinds of stuff. Hot
right. Yep.
How many times did you fall backwards trying to learn how to hop a wheelie?
Oh, I did that a lot. Jumping to bicycles. Oh, man. I know. It's terrible out there.
What kind of impact did you do jumping, going off the ramp on the bicycle, right? Jumping up and down. And
think of all those things like parkour. You see people doing parkour.
Yeah, we did them on bicycle.
Right.
Oh, man. Those people get hurt all the time.
I know, especially now that you can watch the internet and they got YouTube, you can watch how many times they get hurt.
Because people are not casual.
That was funny. That just hurt.
Yeah, but I laughed anyway.
I know.
Can't help it. It's like,
oh, man. I don't know. Most of those times, I just don't see that funny. I just
you know what? Here's the difference. There's definitely a difference between boys and girls.
Uh-huh.
Because when you see all those injuries, they're always boys.
Right.
They're never girls.
Right.
There is a huge difference.
Yep. Girls will fall down doing silly things.
But they may not. They may do it,
but
too, but
not.
Their friends just don't record it and
right.
put it on the YouTube.
Right. There's that, too. So they don't do some of the craziness that boys do. Boys are just crazy. I mean, that's how I broke my foot.
Yeah.
I jumped off of like a 15-foot cliff because I thought I could.
And I remember jumping off our roof, and I didn't break anything. But, oh, my God, that hurt so damn bad. I thought I could.
Yep. I jumped off a bunch of roofs.
No, I mean from the roof all the way down to the ground.
Yeah.
Not from the roof to another rope or roof under the fence.
Yeah, that's the only kind of jumping off a roof I ever did.
Standing on the roof and jumping off.
Uh-huh.
Not like hanging off and dropping off the roof.
Right.
You may have, but, man, that hurt so bad I didn't jump off again.
Done that. That's why I thought I could do the 15-foot cliff.
Yeah, exactly. The
I build up
roof.
To it. You know, you got like 10-foot high and you're like, jump off. That's no big deal. Yeah, let's do it again. Yeah. I took a running start at that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you could jump off the roof.
Right.
Mitigate the.
Oh, I forgot to roll.
Yeah. That's why your ankle didn't. It rolled.
Oh, man, it broke. My three toes broke right there. Dang. Ouch. Needless to say, I didn't ride my bike home that day. I rode my bike there. But that was that.
Yeah, but in the funny thing, you said it.
Yeah.
I watched the videos they're being produced, and it's just crazy.
It's very funny.
No wonder girls are more mature than boys.
Yeah, right.
When they're young, because we're so brain damaged.
That's right.
We're very young.
That's so much brain damage. That's why them girls like a dumb.
Like, so this is gonna get me in trouble. So how much more intelligent would we be than them if we didn't have all the brain damage?
Why?
Young. Because already we're already more intelligent than them now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we think we are. That's how dumb we are.
That's right. That's how dumb we are. I'm smarter than everybody. You big idiot.
We guys doing this again?
Yeah, we are.
Do I have to come to work early?
Yeah, you do. We have to have an audience start, Ken. It's more fun.
Women haters, that's what
that's
we are.
Right.
He-Man. No, well, when I was a kid, I was a He-Man woman hater. I loved that show. It was stanky and all that.
Yeah. Right.
What can I say? It was a good show.
That's funny.
That's the way boys were back then, though, right?
That's right.
The girls were not allowed. We had our own clubs. We had our own everything and no girls. Except for there was always one special girl who was kind of a tomboy who was kind of allowed because she really wasn't a girl.
She'd bloody beat you up if you didn't let her.
Well, that's exactly right. I remember one that beat us up too, right? Like,
that's the way it goes, man.
Only back then we didn't call it getting beat up. We got pounded by her.
That's right. You're going to get pounded. I remember being pounded. I'm going to pound you, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
all right.
Well, I guess that concludes today's show. So until next time,
here's to your health.